Saves the Day auf Flux FM mit In the In-Between. Ein Stück Musik, das ihr schon sehr gut kennt mittlerweile. Heute Abend spielt die Band im Komet Club und hat es vorher zu mir ins Studio geschafft. Wir quatschen über die Vor- und Nachteile der sich verändernden Musikindustrie. Wir reden über Crowdfunding, über die therapeutische Wirkung ihrer bisherigen Veröffentlichungen, die ja durchaus zu einer fröhlich klingenden Platte geführt haben. Unter Umständen, wir reden über all das und vieles mehr. First of all heißt es jetzt und hier aber hallo und willkommen Chris Conley, Aaron Barley, Rodrigo Palma und Dennis Wilson. Hello, saves the day again.
Hello, thank you for having us.
No problem. It's a pleasure for us that you're here. So how has traveling been? Where are you coming from today, Chris?
We're having so much fun. Uh-huh. We were on tour in the UK with Brand New, and we did a handful of dates with them all over the place.
Cool.
And that was a lot of fun. They're a great live band, uh-huh. Great fans.
Cool.
And for the last couple days, we've been here in Germany. And we played Cologne and Dortmund.
Okay, cool.
And now tonight in Berlin.
So you seem to have a lot of fun during that
tour.
We
love it. Oh, yeah. We're having a blast.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Berlin last night.
Come close to the microphone.
Okay. We had a day off in Berlin last night.
Oh, wow. What did you do?
Well, we went to go see Brand New because they were playing.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So there's a friendship between those
there
two
is.
Bands right
oh,
now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. So that sounds nice to me. So congratulations on your new record. It has been financed by your fans this time. You went for the crowdfunding idea. How did that idea come up?
Our management had the idea because they really loved the people that were working at Pledge Music, and they thought they had a great vision.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, why not try it and see what kind of support we get? And we were surprised by how
successful it was.
It was. It went really well.
It's definitely something we've never done before.
No, I know.
So just not knowing, you know. But we went all in with it, and it was a lot of fun, and it was rewarding, the interaction we were able to have with our fans.
Yeah.
I think we were expecting, but it didn't. I don't think we were really expecting the level at which we were able to connect with them.
Because you'd be like, we need this and that amount of money, which would be 100% of what we need, but you got like 218% or something.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was overwhelming. I think we were all very surprised. And I mean, I think with any situation, you're in a band that puts out records, there's always a degree of a middle person between the band and the fan, whether it's a label or whether it's, you know, something else. And if anything, what was really cool was that the crowdfunding enabled us to just have a more direct relationship with the fans and saying, you know, these are things that we like to do. And if you like us doing them, then, you know, we can have an arrangement, and it's cool. And it was very exciting for us. And I think there were a lot of cool experiences that we had with the fans.
And it's like the modern do-it-yourself way, right?
It absolutely is. It reminded me of the early days of the band because some of the things we were doing was like going to people's houses and playing in their backyards. And that is exactly how the band started, playing in basements.
Yeah, and it seems to me as if you were enlarging the band's family with that move.
That is how we felt too.
Because you meet your fans, and they're not just fans of your music and knowing all your records, but they have given some money into the project, and they're like a responsible uncle that you meet or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, we're all doing it together.
All your education was financed by me, so you better be cool.
We're not going to let you down.
Something like that. So it's actually a brilliant way to finance records nowadays. As a man that has started working with the business almost 20 years ago, or 20 years ago in 1994, I think the first steps were made.
Yeah, started playing guitar with the drummer that was the first drummer in Saves the Day in 1993.
Yeah, that's 20 years now.
Yeah.
And that has been a total different kind of thing back then. The industry was still alive and kicking. They had money to spend.
Oh, yeah,
And do you sometimes miss those days when the budget things were handled by the company and you just had to write and record? Or do you actually like the new way more, that you even have control about the budget and the way that you finance the record and stuff?
I think there are things that feel better to me with the new way of doing things. It just feels more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always complicating having people involved in the music that don't understand music and just understand business.
Yeah.
Because we're just trying to make good records. But I also miss the days where we could go into a really cool studio in Los Angeles and spend 2 months.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
There's ups and downs.
We're just happy to still be here.
Yeah. And I think that's the main thing. If you've survived the changing industry, It's all good. You know what I'm saying?
We just try to control, you know, we can't control that, how that's, you know. So we just like to be here and you can't, play music.
You can't jump into a time machine or something that has not been invented yet.
And you never know where it's going. Yeah. I mean, it could lead into a much brighter pasture.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Indeed.
Let's listen to another song of the new record. It's called Xenophobic Blind Left Hook, a beautiful song. I want to listen to the story about that song, behind that song, right after it. But first, let's listen to it. Saves the Day. It's Xenophobic Blind Left Hook. Saves the Day mit Xenophobic Blind Left Hook. Ein Stück Musik, das wohl geschrieben wurde, weil ein Fan der Band von Skinheads angegriffen wurde. Da will ich nochmal genau wissen, wie man auf diesen Song kam. Chris, I've read that a fan of yours was attacked by Skinheads and that was the reason for you to write that song. Is that a true story or how?
That's almost true. Uh-huh. It was a gang of bikers, like guys riding motorcycles, and they were harassing some of the fans outside of a show we were playing with the Get Up Kids.
Where was it?
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
And Rodrigo was outside saying goodbye to his brother in the parking lot and noticed this skirmish. And he went over to break things up because one of the fans was really getting harassed. Mm. And Rod stepped in the middle of everything and it just broke into a fight. And we were inside the venue and Rodrigo walked in and out of the corner of my eye, I just see him raining blood out of his face. Just
you were bleeding.
Sprung open.
Fucking hell.
You should have seen the other guy. came in and it was just this bizarre, just a scene that was almost like a movie. And the images were so strong from that night that later on when the song came up and the first line, we were there, they were there, they were drunk, was just rolling around my head. It seemed like a great night to write about.
Yeah.
Because he came walking in, raining blood. We heard what was going on. We ran outside.
Just another song popped up in my head when you said Raining Blood.
Yeah. Right.
That's the wrong song, though. Yeah.
Different. And different. We went outside. You know, we noticed them taking off in the distance, and we sort of figured, well, we got to do something about this, but the right thing to do isn't, you know, chase them down.
No.
The right thing to do is
don't chase the biker gang down. That could go wrong.
Let's tell who we need to tell, and then let's get this guy to the emergency room. So we spent the night in the emergency room. He had a broken nose and a purple eye.
Uh-huh.
And I used images from that night to craft the scene of the song, but then I also wanted to write about intolerance because it's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I just thought, what would be a way to write about intolerance and not make it too heavy, but so something that could be palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And so the line Xenophobic Blind Left Hook felt quirky enough and also maybe a little bit under the radar.
Yeah.
If people don't know what the word means, they might not know that they're hearing a song about intolerance.
So stupid xenophobic people, they don't know the word.
Maybe they'll hum along.
They'll hum along and then they'll be trapped.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh man, I was trapped by Saves the Day and I have to think about my political thoughts again.
Great.
I love that though.
Yeah.
One does get the feeling as well that your new record sounds a lot more positive than previous releases. And I have the theory that this comes from the therapeutic approach that you'd done with the previously released trilogy, because that was something that you really were digging deep into your soul. And so would you say that the therapy kind of thing worked for you?
That is exactly what it was. The trilogy was my own private therapy to investigate the roots of my, you know, dilemmas, the problems. Such a big world, weird life. It gets to a dude, so I had to figure out what was that all about, and I investigated and realized, it's completely understandable, but that things are difficult. This is a crazy life and a crazy world, and so on the other side of that, I feel much more at ease just walking around and being alive.
Yeah,
and so the music is always just a reflection of how I feel inside.
Yeah,
and we also feel so good as a band that a lot of this is just where we are collectively. It just feels really good to play together and be together. Cool. So some of that joy just comes out in the record too.
And I read that you were kind of surprised yourself when you started the first demos. Because you started playing guitar and you were like, oh, that sounds like super positive. Where's that coming from?
It was strange.
But that's the magic of music, right?
Oh,
that's, that playing guitar just for yourself can actually tell you something about your,
I have goosebumps right now.
Just
saying that, because it's magic to me. It is magic, and I never know where it's going to go, but I follow the thread.
Yeah,
and then we wind up somewhere.
Because sometimes you make music without thinking about it too much or thinking about it at all.
Exactly.
And the music you just that just pops out of you tells you more about your spiritual condition than having thought about it for days.
So indeed.
How am I feeling? I don't really know. But then you play a little guitar and you're like, oh, I think I feel like that riff right there.
Oh, it's this great language that's beyond words.
Yeah, that's totally beautiful. Totally true. Looking at your band, one starts thinking of coming of age movies as well, because you started the whole thing when you were like a teenager.
I know.
Now you're touring the world as a full grown man.
Yeah.
How strange is it to be as connected with yourself as a teenager nowadays still?
I think it's great. I love singing the old songs. Mm-hmm. I like looking back and sort of reflecting on where I was as a person. Mm-hmm. And one of the nicest things is being on the other side of the turmoil and knowing that I was surviving and getting through it. And so it feels triumphant to look back, almost like singing the blues.
Yeah.
You could say, well, shoot, I had a bad morning, but then I got up and went outside and I dusted my broom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like overcoming.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing if you look at this like that. Because there might be people in your position who'd look back and be like, oh man, I was a teenager. I felt so different back then.
Yeah.
I cannot connect it to the person I am nowadays anymore, so I won't play the old songs or something. But it's totally different with you.
I think, fortunately, I was always just being 100% honest with every last thing that I felt.
Yeah.
Not holding back. So there isn't, when I sing those songs now, there's still sincerity in the words.
Yeah.
So the thread is there.
Yeah. And it is another thing why you should actually be honest in your art and not try to hide something.
Indeed.
Because maybe in 10 to 12 or 15 or 20 years, you will have to play that
song. Yeah, you want to feel good about it.
Yeah, totally true. Cool. So tonight's show, there's going to be some old school songs as well. There's
going to
be an emotional roller coaster, kind of.
Oh, we play songs from every release.
Okay, cool. So people, I want to thank you for visiting me, and let me give away some tickets real quick for tonight's
show. Sounds good.
Show.
See you there.
Alles klar. Jan Möllerken da draußen, bist du ready am Telefon? Er zeigt mir ein Zeichen. Sehr schön. Also ruft mich schnell an unter der 030 2009000. Berlin 2009000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wer durchkommt, der kann heute Abend Saves the Day begutachten im schönen Komet-Club. Und weil Chris mir gesagt hat, dass er die alten Songs auch noch mag, hören wir uns jetzt einen alten Song an aus dem Jahr 2004. Hier sind Saves the Day nochmal mit Sell My Old Clothes, I'm Off to Heaven. One old school song, because you just told me that you still like them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot, boys.
Thank you so much.
Have great fun at tonight's show, and please come back as soon as possible, as soon as you can.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.